We bow our heads in prayer. Father, as we come before you today, we thank and praise you for your amazing grace shared with us. Lord, as we walk through the doors today, we all come through the same way, sinful human beings in need of a loving and caring God, in need of the grace that you bestow on each one of us. Lord, we can't do it by ourselves. We thank you for all the promises that you've made. And even as we sang that song together, Lord, we prayed again that you would use us as your people. Be with us this morning as we talk about the state of Shepherd of the Hills, the state of our church here, of our family. We ask for your guidance and direction, and that all we do in your most holy name. We pray in that name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Once a year, we do this. It was interesting as my son-in-law was over yesterday and daughter, and he said, "Dad, don't you get it? You're not supposed to do State of the Church this year." We tried to do it on the 3rd. I was missing, you know, the weather for today was called pretty yicky. I guess that's a good word. We aren't sure what's going to do outside. And he said, "I don't think you're supposed to do State of the Church." And thanks for coming this morning. I'm just glad you all came. I know the weather didn't sound that good and stuff, so thanks for coming. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, one of my favorite ones, to a new church, wrote these words in Philippians 1, verses 9 through 11. "This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." It's interesting, in the verse right before this, in verse 7, Paul says, "All of you share God's grace with me." That's why we're here today. We all share in knowing this loving and caring God. That's why we're a family together in this place. And what we're going to do this morning is just kind of share a simple report about what's happening in the family. We try to do this once a year. So first part is just report on what's happening in our ministries. Secondly, we're going to look at strategic leadership plan. I'll explain that when I get to it. And then third, we're going to look at the challenges that we face here at Shepherd of the Hills in the coming year. We have a number of ministries here led by different people in the congregation, and they're listed there on your sheet. The first one is care. People in need, inside and outside of our family. We have this thing called the Starfish Fund, which is run by donations that come outside of Sunday morning. We've used that more than ever for our own family and for our community. That's mostly money. If people find themselves in a tough spot, we usually can find a way to help them out. So that's grown a lot this year. Care. In most churches, care, that very word, the first person you think of, or first people you think of, would be the staff and the pastor. And, you know, here at Shepherd, usually that's the first time we hear about needs. But we don't do all the care here. This last year, I have seen care just flowing out of the families of Shepherd. Best example of that, and he's here with us today, is Randy Reek, whose wife was killed in a motorcycle accident. Randy lost the use of his legs. I really have not been highly involved personally in the care of Randy. You guys took it. and have done a great job of caring for him. And it's not just Randy. I've been out in the entryway and heard conversations like this. Someone walks up to someone who they know are in trouble, and they said, "Okay, tell me specifically, what can I pray for you for?" It doesn't just happen here. It doesn't just happen with our person who's in charge of it. The great thing that's going on at Shepherd is the care that we're sharing with each other and with the people of our community. I love that that's happening. Because in a lot of places, that would be just pretty much with the staff. Life development, that's our 0 to 18 stuff here. Children between the ages of 0 and 18. One of the things that often happens at Shepherd that we kind of take for granted, maybe I do, is nursery care. I was here for a meeting not too long ago, and, you know, people brought their little kids in, and I thought, well, who's going to take care of them? And there was somebody in the nursery. We do that for funerals. We do that for any time we're bringing people in here. And a lot of you, we have some people that we pay to do that, and we have quite a few people who volunteer to do that. Kids Connection, 25 to 30% of people in our Kids Connection aren't members of our church. That's awesome, isn't it? That's what we want to do. Confirmation, over 100 kids, a third of them not members of our church, their families. High school ministry is growing. Jedediah is our high school group that meets on Sunday mornings once a month or every other month. Our high school mission trip, they've started a Bible study now. Our vacation Bible school continues to grow. Palm Fest is coming up. All the ways that we touch children. Last year, for our VBS, we had over 300 volunteers total, and 100 of those were teens. It's amazing what's happening in life development. Magnification. We grew in worship numbers last year. Most we have for a while. We've been kind of sitting still. We kind of plateaued off, but that's come up. The choir, the praise land, our worship, praise band, our worship life is growing. And you may not know this. I get to sit up here in front. Your volume's coming up as you praise God more. You might not even know that. I get to hear that every Sunday. I think Eric might have something to do with that, the guy back in the sound booth, if he cranks it a little more. But we get to do that together all the time. We get to worship our God, and we're getting better at when we come in here on Sunday morning in our worship life, we're focused on what he's done, not on what we can get, but on what God has done for us. In the area of maturity, which is discipleship at some churches, how we grow people in God's word, we have 49 leaders, people leading Bible studies. Many of them are new this year. Our men's ministry is growing. We still need to catch up to the ladies, guys. They're blowing us out of the water. Now, ladies, your ministry is growing too. I'm not telling you to stop. It just means we have to work a little harder to get caught up. TNT. They have 20 in their Bible study now. I think a year ago they had 6. TNT is, for those of you who are new, is 20s and 30s here at Shepherd. I don't know if you know how long we've been praying for that ministry to get rolling. And now, I think they took 32 people to the hockey game the other night. Of course, it was because we were there that the Admirals won in overtime. Look at that ministry, what's going on there. Short-term groups, maybe on a specific topic, we're trying them. Long-term groups, time in the Word on Sunday morning at 8:30, journey to the cross, we could go on and on as we help people mature. And then the last area of ministry is missions. That's really grown this year, as missions has teamed together with maturity, and a lot of our maturity groups are now doing mission work. That's expanded our ministry in that way. And as I look at what we do supporting things outside of Shepherd, the one thing that stood out to me is the support that we offer to people in the community right around us who are in trouble, especially in trouble with the law. We support Lad Lake. We support Free at Last. We support Strong Links. We're taking that message where, what doesn't Jesus say, you know, visit those who are in prison? We're taking that to heart. I'm not sure, maybe it's the head bump, that I always got that right away. All the different things that were going on. The news is really good in the status of our ministries here at Shepherd. This last year, even though we know things are going good, this last year, and probably a little longer than that, I've been saying to the board, and the board's been saying to me, and a lot of you have been saying to me, Pastor, we're going to need some more help. And so this last year, we put together a strategic leadership plan, and we did that. We hired a consultant from outside the congregation, and this consultant met with a cross-section of the congregation. She met with people of all ages. She met with people involved in different ways, some highly involved, some not so involved. She met with people that attend different services here at Shepherd. She met with my staff individually, and she met with a number of about 60 people in the congregation. I wasn't at any of those meetings. I just want to say thank you for taking the time. We really didn't have trouble getting people to come to those meetings. Thank you for taking the time to do that. And I just want to share with you a little bit this morning what Kay Edwards, our consultant, shared back with us. This was a scary thing for me. Because if you're in business and you hire a consultant to come in, what does that consultant do? They really tell you what the people are saying, not what you think you said to the people. So, you know, it was a little uneasy time for Pastor. Because what are the people going to say? Are they going to get it? Just share with you a few things that she shared with us. She was amazed at how consistent across the board our people were with their answers to who we are and what we do, which made me feel like maybe we're all working together. Just a few premises that she had, the first group she met with that they developed about Shepherd were unique in Lutheran Church Missouri Synod circles. Secondly, Shepherd has adapted to my values and personality. If you're visiting today, I'm really the only pastor they've had. So we're about 20 years old. They've adapted to my values and personality. My question to her is, why are they still not Bear fans? You know, they haven't made it completely. Third one was, there's a high level of trust at Shepherd of the Hills between people and staff. There's a high level of participation, people who do ministry things. And the last one was, there's some anxiety about how long is Pastor Tom going to be here? Is he going to leave? Nature of Shepherd of the Hills, that they came up with, three main things as she met with the various groups. We're warm and friendly. People believe that's not by accident, that we work hard at that. We're welcoming of all. Secondly, we'll do funerals for members and non-members. We'll do weddings. We'll do baptisms. We'll do all those things. We want everybody's welcome here. That came up to me this week. I was doing a report. I have to do a yearly report for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod about things that are going on here. I'm not crazy about that report because I'm not sure how valuable it is. But one of the things that came up is we had 8 funerals last year. I didn't know we had that many, and I did them. Well, I did all but a couple. But 4 of those were for members and 4 were for non-members. I think that says something about, you know, we welcome everybody. And the third one, nature of the church, is is our people feel that we are a stepping stone church. And she defined that from the people's message, that we're a place where you can come at any level and join our church, and we'll help you grow to the next level. Core values. There's six of them that she said are very important for us as we seek to move ahead. Prayer is key in any decision-making process. Our people said that. That one, I like that one. Because, you know, some of these I guess I should just know. But openness is the second one. We'll minister to anyone in need. Everyone's welcome here. Involvement. On the sheet it said, we don't expect a lot of our guests and visitors, but once you become a member, we have high expectations. We expect you to be doing things in the congregation. Sound doctrine. It's our goal to help people grow closer to Jesus Christ, and we're going to do that based on God's word. Next one kind of goes with it. Practical relevance. One person said, we don't just talk about things that happened in Bible times. We talk about those, but then we apply them to our lives today. How does it apply? And the last one, encouraging lay ministry. This is what she said. Lay people at Shepherd, non-staff, non-ordained people, take on things handled only by ordained pastors in other churches. And she said, that's a core value that anybody else who comes in, we're going to have to understand. That's who she said we are, outside source. That's who she said we are. So as she did this, the main goal of this, as I said before, is, you know, as we talk to her, what's going to happen next with my ministry here? You know, I guess I know about that statistic in Waukesha County. You know the statistic. In Waukesha County, the death rate is still hovering around 100%. So you know, that applies to me too. I'm not going to last forever. One of the reasons, the main reason we started this whole process is all of the talking that you people have been doing to me this past year, more than ever, about, okay, Pastor, do you have enough help? Are we moving ahead? What's next step? Who's going to be our next head pastor as we move down the road? How long are you going to be here? So that's what we looked at. So as we look at this, after we read Kay's report and we look at what's happening, there's some challenges at Shepherd. I just want you to walk with me for a little bit from my chair the last couple of years. The last couple of years, people have been saying to me, maybe a little longer than that, Pastor, you need help. We're growing too fast. There's too many people here. You need help. And I said, well, you don't understand. I have a lot of staff. I'm okay with the help that I have. You probably, a lot of you have heard me say that. We're different than a lot of other places. Then, right before Christmas last year, I got this blood infection and blood problems. I missed just 6 short weeks. Staff did fine. Pastor Rasmussen filled in quite a bit for us. Some other pastors filled in. We got through it. I thought, wow, you know, we're doing fine. But after that, people came up to me and said, Pastor, you need help. All factions. So I said, okay, let's develop a leadership plan because I don't know what this is going to look like. And for those of you who know me, I can be a little stubborn. So we went through that with Kay, and Kay came up with her recommendations, and at a meeting just about a month ago, it was our last board meeting, We sat down and talked, and we said one of the recommendations from Kay is she tells us how to pick the next head pastor, but she also said in order for you to continue to grow and reach out to people, you need an associate pastor. So at our last board meeting in late January, we said, okay. I said, okay, we'll go for this associate pastor, and the board said that. So I'll go with that. That Saturday, God hit me on the head with a cement step. And I said, one of my first calls was to some of the staff, and one of the staff members said, I thought we said we were going to do this. He really wanted to get your attention. So he hits me on the head with a cement step. Okay, I really get it now. And then for those couple weeks, we had trouble getting help. So, I think I get it. I am starting to understand it. There's two other challenges that we face at the present time. Two of our ministry staff in the last couple months resigned. Linda Schaefer, who led our maturity ministry, said God told her to move on to something else. I surely understand that. If you know Linda, she's a lady of prayer and she really listens. And Maggie Leaf resigned her ministry. So missions and maturity are open. Again, I'm learning to listen to God a little bit. Isn't it amazing that right at the time we're thinking of bringing on another pastor, we have two openings in our staff that could be filled by a pastor? The area of maturity or discipleship is where we'd want to put a lot of emphasis, and then get somebody who's got a heart for missions and can work with some of our individuals here. So, out of challenges, I think always come some opportunities, and that's our opportunity. We hope to add in the next few months. It's going to take a little bit. An associate pastor to our staff. It's time to do this. There's going to be some challenges with this also. We want to continue to keep our mission capacity and be able to reach out to other people so that they can know Jesus Christ. That's key to us. And if we get caught up in just me or other things, we need to do that. So some details we need to work out is, what do we need? What's this person going to look like? What kind of gifts are we looking for? What kind of specialties? Because we're unique, we're going to have to dig a little bit. We probably aren't going to get somebody from the seminary. We're going to have unique needs. Person's going to preach a little, not a lot. So what do we need? Where do we find it? Start to get some feelers out and look around and see who would fit. When will this happen? And the last one, costs. It's going to cost us a little more that way. And another question, a detail that we're going to have to work out is, does this mean we step back in some other area so we can move ahead? It's my prayer that we don't have to step back, but we continue to move ahead, that we keep the staff we have and move ahead in these areas. Our goal here at Shepherd is always winning and growing people for Christ together. We do that as a family. I think there are two main challenges that we're going to face in this coming year, the state of our church. The first one is going to be financial. This last year has not been our best. In fact, it's the first time in a while that our giving has not gone above the year before. We've dropped a little. So that's going to be a challenge. One of the things that Kay told us in her meeting is that people said, if we need more, you have to tell us. We're telling you. Okay? If we need more, we're going to have to move ahead. Might not make sense. We're at one of those stages in the life of a congregation where it's time to make that jump ahead. Most times in the life of our congregation, God has really helped us with this. And there's no reason to believe he won't now. When we built this building in 1999, at the same time a man died and left his estate to us that allowed us to hire two staff immediately that we would have had to put off 1 or 2 years later. And that helped us to grow that time. I believe that God is going to do that again. The second challenge that we're going to face, and you probably get tired of me saying this, is we're going to have an ongoing need for ministry helpers. I looked up retirement in the Bible. Retirement is not a biblical concept. It is never found. It's been amazing to me. It is never mentioned, not even once. And I know as some of our members get more mature, they're waiting for those 20s and 30s to step up. That's not why we want to bring those 20s and 30s in. That will happen. But we want them to know Jesus. A lot of them grew up in homes where Jesus wasn't taught. Maybe that's some of you here today. That's why we want those 20s and 30s. See, retirement is not a biblical concept, so we're going to continue to need ministry people. We're going to continue to need our people to do the things that God has equipped them to do, has gifted them to do. More than ever, we can't be a congregation of members who are spectators. It just won't work. That's a challenge that we're going to face. So now what? What do we do as we look ahead? Three things. First, I ask you and call upon you to do our first core value. Remember what that was? Pray. We need to hold up before our Heavenly Father. How's this going to work? What's this going to look like? We need to all be doing that. We need to keep praying. That means speaking, and it also has to do with listening to what God says to us. I want to just read to you a section from Philippians 4. It's Paul talking to that congregation again. He says, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. So don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you." As those words roll off of Paul's pen, I love that one. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. We have to continue to do that here. Really? You know, it's going to be a challenging year for us again. It's always a challenge for us here at Shepherd, isn't it? Aren't you waiting for me to do one of these State of the Church's address and say, okay, let's slow down? It's not us. As long as there are people out there who don't know Jesus, I don't care if they're 20s and 30s or S&Es. Those are 70s and 80s. We're looking for people who don't know Jesus Christ. How are we going to continue to move ahead with that? Second thing I ask you to do, and I hope you just overwhelm me with this, is let's sit down and talk. You and your spouse, or just you. There's a blue sheet in your bulletin this morning. There's times on there. I hope we filled up those and more. I'll make time for you. Okay? Fill this out. There's a box out by the post, out by the coffee. If you're going to get a donut, you can just slide this in. Check some times, or just call the office and we'll set it up if none of those times works. And I don't want to just talk about your finances. A couple of years ago when we did this, I talked to a lot of you. We didn't talk very much about finances. We talked about your life, what's going on. And the one thing that happened in those meetings is we found out how a lot of people could serve. They wanted to serve. Now you're thinking, well, I'm not coming then because he'll just rope me into something else. Just come and we'll talk. Blue sheet. And third, there's going to be a need, and that's going to be the financial need. So I ask you in your prayers to not only pray for direction as to what this is going to look like, but financially, what can we do? Next couple weeks, we're going to talk about proportionate giving. On March, the first Sunday in March, we'll ask you to bring your pledges. And there's pledge sheets out there today if you didn't get one in the mail, if you're just visiting, if you want to be part of that. But we're going to ask you to look at proportionate giving. How has God blessed you? And how can you be a blessing as we reach out to others? We're going to need to grow our budget. It's an amazing time to be a shepherd. It's always amazing to be here. It's an amazing time to be a pastor of a church like this. And, you know, I just thank you for all of the things that you've done. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, as we come before you today, thanks. Thanks for all these people that came today. Just really, I'm happy. They came. They came to hear what we're about and where we're going. Thanks for all the people that you will bring to us in the future. We think of those names in the entryway. A lot of those people have already come, Lord, and or maybe here or somewhere else. They've come to share a relationship with Jesus Christ. Continue to help us be a place that reaches out to those who don't know Jesus. We pray for those going through difficult health problems, Lord. There are many. Relational issues, financial issues, job issues, family issues. Lord, you've promised to listen to them and care for them. We thank you for all that you've done to join us together and lead us as a family. We thank you for your unending grace as we listen to you as you direct us in a new year here at Shepherd. Lord, I pray that you'll help us as a family and as individuals to pray about what God wants us to do that will bring the glory to him and then to do it. Lord, we just need to trust you in all that you ask us to do. Just a couple other prayers today, Lord. We ask you to be with Georgia Weber. She undergoes surgery on Tuesday. Guide the hands of the surgeon with her. We pray for our state. Right now it's struggling, Lord. We pray for all of our leaders that you would be with them and guide and direct them, that they would listen to you, that they would talk to you in prayer. And we pray for our world, Lord. All those things in North Africa, that's pretty scary. And in the Middle East, Lord, we know that you're a God of peace. Continue to be with your world. Help the leaders listen to you. All our other needs we bring to you in the prayer you've taught us as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.